Undisputed.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Kara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bottle boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host...
Here, kitty. 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 Kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I am here. We are live. We're live on the YouTubes tonight. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
On the YouTubes?
We are on the YouTubes.
My goodness.
We're going up in the world. We're on YouTube.
All right. Classing it up, y'all.
You can get us at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Come to wildtalkradio.com. Come to rackradioshow.com. Interact with us live. You can also tweet us at wildtalkradio or at rackradioshow or at Lindsay Ward, and we will read your comments on the air because we have a question for you tonight.
We do. It is a return of the long-lost question of the night, and it goes as follows. In the next few days, because there's a lot going on this weekend, and we're talking about some of it tonight, what are you looking forward to the most? TNA Bound for Glory, WWE at MSG, or NXT TakeOver Respect? I'm sure we've polled the audiences. We'll find out what they have to say and what we have to say about it a little bit later. But we have stuff to get into tonight.
That we do. We got some news for you. We got, NXT TakeOver Respect. We're going to be previewing that later tonight. And we're going to fix Monday Night Raw.
We're going to totally fix Monday Night Raw.
Or at least
with one really simple fix.
One simple fix. It's one simple fix. We'll fix the whole thing. We will fix every issue with WWE. Simple. Swatch.
Because everybody else has done it, so I guess it's our turn. I don't know.
Everyone has opinions, and so do we.
So do we. Doesn't mean they're legit, but we do have an opinion, and this is how we feel Raw can be improved.
Improved, yes. We'll fix it.
Get your hammer ready, because, well, we're doing that in a bit. So now I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net. The haven for TNA fans. I think we have to start with the smallest, biggest news we've ever had on this show, because he's so current. Hornswoggle got suspended for 30 days due to a wellness policy violation.
All right, piece of a question for you. What was the last person to get popped for a wellness violation?
I don't remember.
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh, that's right.
So we've had Ricardo and now Hornswoggle.
I have no words for this. I have nothing. I was just like, when Rock told me, I was like, was it growth? Please tell me it was growth. Because that the irony in that would be so awesome.
Right.
It's a horrible thing to do, but
growth hormone? Maybe?
It'd be terribly ironic and amazing. And I was having a really bad day and you just laugh.
So you laugh at Hornswoggle. Got it.
Well, you know.
It's what you do.
I'm a horrible person like that. What can I say? And if you've ever heard me play Cards Against Humanity, you know that for a fact.
Hashtag fact.
Hashtag fact. No, we're actually going to talk about the biggest news besides Hornswoggle, which is that it was announced that SummerSlam week is heading to Brooklyn. I got nothing left on Hornswoggle. I'm just going to move on. Unless you had something, I'm sorry.
I had no jokes.
Nothing.
Like, if you really want to talk, like, alright, before we get to SummerSlam, let's talk, we'll talk Hornswoggle, because why not? He hasn't been on TV for a while. They can randomly test you at home, which they probably did for him, or the one time he showed up to TV in his hometown. You know, that just sucks for the dude.
It does suck for the dude. It really sucks because...
I mean, he's doing nothing. Like, legit nothing.
Yeah, he's sitting at home doing nothing, so he's stuck at home, he's not on TV, and now he's permanently off TV for 30 days because... He got popped for doing something against the wellness policy, which sucks. Really sucks.
Which really does suck. Honestly, because that, you know, that doesn't look good on any sort of record where you're getting popped for being on a wellness policy.
Actually had to ask Rock if he was still employed.
Yeah, apparently he was.
So, I mean, it's a shame. You never want to hear about anyone getting violated for wellness because that means they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's just never good. So... Hopefully, whatever it wasn't too severe, and Hornswoggle will be back to doing whatever he was doing before he got suspended. So, SummerSlam!
Yeah, SummerSlam. The SummerSlam week.
It's headed to Brooklyn, not only this year, but next year, and the year after that. So, Brooklyn gets SummerSlam 3 years running, which isn't terribly surprising, seeing as LA had it forever.
Yeah, LA did have it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And now... Brooklyn gets it, and they get the entire week. They're getting NXT on Saturday nights. They're getting Raw that Monday. They get the entire weekend. I hope... Okay, my biggest fear with this, and it's just one little fear, and it should be the fear... It should be a fear of many. Brooklyn was special this year for NXT. I hope they can recreate that specialness 2 more years in a row.
It all depends on where NXT is in 2 years, honestly. I think to me, if you're gonna have NXT in Brooklyn for 2 years, or really 3 years, excuse me, running.
Uh-huh, 3 years running, yeah.
Then you don't take them up there any other time.
No, because then you're hitting that market three times. For NXT, which is a newly sought after brand, going to the same market 3 times in a row is tough, especially to fill a 13,000 seat building.
Well, to be fair, I don't think they're gonna do a 13,000 seater building every time. It's something that they'll do what they've continued to do, mm-hmm. which is they'll book a 5,000 seater, or they'll book something probably that has the potential.
They're doing Barclays. They're all going to Barclays.
Well, that kills that theory.
Yeah, they're selling. See, now you get why I'm worried a little bit.
Yeah, but realistically, if you only open 5,000 seats and you sell the 5,000 seats and the demand is there, that's fine. I don't think they're going to open all 13,000 seats at once and say, okay, you know, have at it. It's going to be, they'll probably do a slow progression, was basically what I was going to get at.
Oh, yeah.
It's, okay, we're going to open a limited number of seats. We'll see how those sell, and then we'll open the rest of the building. Because the building is rented either way. You know, however many seats they sell, that just makes it gravy.
Oh yeah, easily. But it's just a worry I have because you just don't know. That's my point. You just don't know. I hope, like, I don't want it to come out next year where it feels like a disappointment that they did not reach the same peak they did last time, you know?
Oh, I agree, but I think it'll be okay because NXT is not touring that much, and if you don't take them up there that often...
If you keep them out of the Northeast in the New York area for at least 3 months, it go back and forth, you know, so 6 months total, you could be all right.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Because as long as you keep it an in-demand product, people will go. That's the thing. Because it doesn't come often.
No, that is the one thing. But I just hope it doesn't feel like a letdown. That's my fear of it.
I hope it doesn't feel like a letdown either, but I don't think it will be.
Okay.
But we're going to have to see what talent is there in next year and year after next as well, because that's a big factor. Because the talent that sold out NXT TakeOver Brooklyn this year may not be on that roster next year. They may be on SummerSlam.
I don't expect Finn Balor to be main eventing NXT next year.
Me neither. Just call it a crazy hunch on that.
Probably, it might be Hideo, but it won't be Finn.
Maybe. It all depends on where Hideo's at.
Because Hideo has to come back, and I figured, okay, he needs at least 6 more months down the NXT once he gets healthy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my theory.
That's your theory. It's a good theory.
So we'll see what happens. Speaking of pay-per-views, Lindsay.
Oh.
I don't know if you're aware, but they do a pay-per-view called Fastlane.
Do they now?
Yeah, they do. It's become it's a new thing. It's a brand new pay-per-view that started this past year. It's, you know, the Fastlane to WrestleMania. Get it? Get it? Huh? Get it?
Rimshot.
Anyway, it is returning to Cleveland in 2016, February 21st to be exact. At the queue, Fastlane comes to Cleveland.
Ew, fancy.
So there you go.
So, yay, go Cleveland, go. Speaking of showing up places and doing things, it was announced that Monday Night Raw this Monday will be invaded by a beast.
Brock Lesnar.
Seems WWE is filling up his calendar with extra dates. First Hell in a Cell, and now this coming Monday on Raw, where, well, we're going to have to see if Brock Lesnar has anything to say about his match with Big Show on Saturday at Madison Square Garden, and if a certain dead man interrupts.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about, because this is a nice little transition, because ratings are down, so they're bringing back Brock. This gives a way to talk about WWE Madison Square Garden for a second. Main event by Big Show and Brock Lesnar. I think everyone's kind of under the assumption that, you know, Brock's going to kill Big Show. There's no other finish, right?
I think that's the general consensus, yes.
So are we calling our shot that we think the show ends with The Undertaker showing up?
I am.
I am, too. You just do a favor. If you don't have them fight, just do a stare down. Brock and Taker go off the air.
Yeah, because the thing is you have to have something to push Hell in a Cell. Because Taker and Brock are main eventing Hell in a Cell. And they're in the cell, by the way, just so everybody's aware. So you need to start to push that match. Brock's not going to be around much. Taker's not going to be around much. So you need to hit your high points where you hit your high points. So Taker, being the heel that he is, shows up, screws Brock over at Madison Square Garden, and pisses Brock off.
I wouldn't even say screw him over. I would say Brock wins. You hit the gong and go from there.
No, I say he gets Brock nice and angry.
Oh, well, I don't see Brock losing. That's my point. There's no way Brock loses the Big Show.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, we'll see what happens, but it'll be on the network Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Go watch it. But yeah, if you do a surprise with The Undertaker on a live special, it'll get more people to tune into the live specials, realizing anything could happen. Because last special, we got a title change. I don't think they're giving the Dudleys the belts, because I think they'll get them at the cell, you know?
Yeah, I think it depends, though.
Oh, it does. It really does depend. We'll see what happens, but I don't think they get the belts at the cell. At Madison Square Garden, I say they get them at the cell. We'll see.
Could be.
We'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. So, just a quick couple notes. Randy Orton's new film comes out on the 6th of November.
The Condemned 2.
Let's see if it's...
It'll be in theaters.
Yes, he's actually getting a theatrical release, which is surprising. It seems they're going back to that. Will be a limited release, like Ambrose's movie was. I'm pretty sure it's also going to be available on demand, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it'll be available on demand as well, yes.
So, check that out when it comes out. Michael Cole was the topic of conversation this week as he showed off the fruits of his labor, including a 65-pound weight loss. Good for him.
That's great for him.
He looks awesome.
He looks awesome. He looks really jacked, too.
Yeah, he does. He's been working with a trainer. He's been cutting out all the bad-for-you stuff, including alcohol and fast food, and just getting himself back in shape because he was not happy.
Which is good for him.
Oh, yeah, it's great for him. He says he feels better now in his 50s than he did at 21.
That's all that counts.
So as long as you feel good and you like how you look, no one can say a word.
Pretty much.
But somebody wasn't feeling good.
Oh.
Miss Alundra Blaze had some choice words for the divas this past week on her Instagram/Twitter/social media. As she said, and I quote, "Just my opinion, I believe at about halfway through this promo, which was a badass promo, the moment and mood Miss Nikki Bella was on, she heard my name being yelled from the audience on WWE Monday Night Raw and threw up her hand as I threw up in my mouth to just ignore ignore the fact that the forever existence of Alundra Blaze is the real revolutionary that started this revolution will never go away. Not to mention Pipe Bomb, You're Not AJ, Real Page, calling the NXT Championship the women's championship, meh. Well, let's just call it like I see it. Most of you are overrated, half of you cannot wrestle, and some just sound illiterate as soon as you open your pie hole, and all so disrespectful. If I were you all, I would be watching your back. You never know who Natty might show up with just to bitch slap a few across the face for a receipt. Oh, and where the hell is Team Bad? Too busy with glow sticks and things that glow in the dark, as far as I'm concerned. Charlotte and Becky Lynch have it going on at the moment, but what the hell do I know? I am 50, past my time, and have been reported as an ugly bitch. I have three words you can call me, boss ass bitch.
Well, okay then.
That's a stark contrast from
all the
earlier this year.
From all the nice things that were said by her at the Hall of Fame.
Oh my. Okay. To her credit, Alundra always has been outspoken. She's always had her opinion.
This is true.
And there are some good points in there.
Like what?
Denying that, you know, Alundra Blaze did revolutionized the business, because she did.
She played a good part in it, yes, that is true.
She's an inspiration for a lot of women's wrestlers today. And in the past.
This is true.
And they do kind of deny she exists.
They did for a while.
And also the whole You're Not AJ for Paige, yeah, that's true.
That point is true. The Paige bomb is not as good as AJ's.
And the WWE NXT Championship as the women's championship, it is the women's title in WWE, let's be frank, it is, because it is more important than the Divas title right now. Just saying. But it's not the women's WWE championship.
No, it's not. But I respect her for sounding off and giving her opinion. I don't know. I'm tired of people commenting and all that fun stuff. I don't know. Part of the speech felt like, at least to me, just to me, hey, I'm over here. Do you see me? I'm over here. And to garner attention for, hey, I was on the network. Hear me on the network? Now my name is the topic of the conversation. So not only do you have, you know, if you Google me now, I'll be on all the dirt sheets now. All the news sites like pwmania.com now. You also see me on the network. It felt more like a promotional kick in the ass than anything, at least to me a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure it was. It's always self-promotion, that kind of thing. Not even going to deny that for a second.
But she made some valid points. She had valid points. I won't deny that, but it felt self-serving. Self-serving is the best word to put it.
Oh, it's always self-serving when it comes to this kind of stuff, because it's, hey, 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 look at me. Hey, 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 I'm still relevant. Hey. Kind of thing. But she's always been outspoken, especially about the state of women's wrestling. She hasn't liked it for years. I'm pretty sure she still doesn't really care for it.
That said, here's the self-promotion. Go to WWE Network, watch Alundra Blaze, Molly Holly, and Ivory talk for 30 minutes. It's a good listen.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's three separate generations, and it's amazing.
And they all have ties together, because if you tie it all together, Molly Holly worked with Ivory in WWE, but Molly Holly worked with Medusa in WCW.
She did, and Ivory and Medusa never crossed paths.
Yeah, so Molly Holly is the connection.
Molly Holly is the connection, but just think about an Ivory-Medusa feud. Holy crap.
Not to segue, but I was watching an old Raw, and this sort of plays into our discussion here in a bit. They had Ivory versus Tori in a hardcore match. They're just beating each other up in a bathroom.
I remember that match.
Like, it wasn't much of a match, but Ivory's just beating the crap out of Tori. They're throwing soap at one another. It was just all kinds of hell, fire and brimstone. Not like the Demon Kane would deliver, but it was cool to see once again.
Oh yeah, it's awesome like that. But we'll have to see how that goes. Oh dear, Alundra. Oh dear. Dear, 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 dear. And our one TNA story, because Bound for Glory is this weekend. Awkward transition, because I don't really have one. TNA has announced that there will be a mystery third announcer for Bound for Glory. Who it is, we don't know. I'm a little frightened.
It's someone making their first appearance behind the announce booth for TNA. It was someone who gave themselves a title at one point, according to the Pope. So I don't know who that could be.
It's Booker T.
It's not Booker T. It is not Booker T.
He gave himself a title.
But I don't know if it was a title for WWE or TNA.
Technically, he did both.
He did both. He really did both.
So, Nash?
No, I don't think it's Nash.
Would Nash go back and work for them? I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm going to throw you on the spot. Who wins the TNA World Title, EC3, Drew Galloway, or Matt Hardy with Jeff Hardy as the referee?
EC3.
EC3 should keep his belt, but I say Matt Hardy wins by pinning Drew Galloway.
Oh, God, why? I mean, honestly, why?
Because they're in Hardy country. I have no other reason.
No, they're in Hardy country. He should lose. But no, I mean, honestly, it's like you have the past in Matt Hardy. You have the somewhat present in Drew Galloway, and you have the future in EC3. And out of the three of those men that are in that match, the brightest is EC3. He's come into his own over the past few years that he's been in TNA. He's grown beyond Derek Bateman to become this incredible character.
Right.
He's one of the best things they have going in that promotion right now, which is really, says a lot for him, but it's really sad at the same time. And that's not a shot at him. It's a shot at TNA.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for all those reasons and more, just leave the belt on EC3, please. Don't put it on Matt Hardy. Don't put it on Drew Galloway. As much as I love Drew Galloway, just keep it on EC3. But what about you?
I say Matt Hardy. I'm going Matt Hardy. Beats Drew Galloway, so EC3 stays undefeated in TNA despite losing his title. Sort of like how they did Christian, where he lost it without being pinned.
Oh, no. I
mean, Jeff Hardy is the special referee, so I don't see Jeff Hardy going heel, so Matt Hardy should win the way it is.
Is he still What's-His-Face's assistant?
No, he quit.
Oh, okay.
So he's brought back to be the special referee.
Yay.
So TNA on pay-per-view this Sunday for Bound for Glory, and then Impact Wrestling Episode 40 airs on Destination America this Wednesday.
Woohoo!
That's actually what the preview says, Episode 40.
That's it.
That's it. No fancy name, just says Episode 40 on the guide.
Oh, this should be fun.
So,
all right.
So one other thing before we get a break.
Okay.
Congratulations to Eve Torres for giving birth. Congratulations. She gave birth tonight. That was awesome news to hear.
She had a little girl. Good for her. Good for her husband. So yay. That's always good to have, you know, happy news to go out on because you want happy news.
Because anything in TNA.
We're not going to go there. Just don't go there. We have happiness, okay? We have a new baby. Let's celebrate the baby.
Okay, we'll celebrate the baby and go to break.
Yes. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about our stellar, 100% foolproof, not really, fix for Monday Night Raw. So you don't want to miss it. And don't forget later, we're talking all about NXT TakeOver. So you definitely don't want to miss that. But till then, this is The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And while we're segueing to Monday nights, no, it's not the Raw post-show, but we are going to talk about Raw.
We are talking about Monday Night Raw. That is for sure. It's not the Raw post 11:10 p.m. Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
So Monday Night Raw suffered record low ratings this past week.
They seem to be having a trend of that.
Yeah, the number keeps dropping, and they had a really low third hour this past Monday, and it was a very record low that's been reported everywhere. How low the number is, and seeing it repeatedly drop is not a good sign for the company. While it is still high in terms of the cable ratings, I was telling Lindsay the other day, because I'm doing research for this segment, basically where the numbers are, and they're still the number right behind football. They're the number two show, basically on Monday nights for cable, and like the number 6-7 show on television, or number 8 show on television, in terms of total viewers on a Monday night, which in overall grand scheme is great. But
I think it's good.
But when the number is, when the number drops, that's kind of a bad thing, and that's a major sign of there's something missing. You're not connecting to the show. There's nothing to give you that word we like to use, words we like to use rather, emotional investment. And that's sort of lacking right now. There are certain superstars on the roster that people can get behind. We know them. There's the Roman Reigns of the world. There's John Cena. There's the Dean Ambrose. There's, you know, and then if you have like the Bray Wyatts or the Seth Rollins of the world, there are people to get behind and for you to care about. But for the, I guess, best way to put it, for the casual viewer, what is there to catch their interest right now?
Well, Monday night there wasn't much for the casual viewer. It was basically Kane getting a performance review and Seth losing his mind, along with Bray and Roman attempting to kill each other. So in terms of a casual viewer, the casual viewer is really kind of only there generally for the bigger names. So your Randy Orton's, your John Cena's, the people that they're going to know. For the guys that are still up and coming, yeah, they may latch onto them, but those guys weren't really featured much. I mean, we only got a backstage promo from Dean Ambrose.
Only got a backstage promo from Dean Ambrose. That's it. You had Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt in the main event, which was a good thing because they actually moved Roman Reigns from being thought of as the number three guy to the number two spot somewhat, making his feud seem a little bit more important with Bray Wyatt, which they've downplayed a little bit. But going back 18 years, let's go back 18 years from the roster. You didn't have a compelling babyface at that point. Stone Cold didn't hit his rise, which is why the numbers were at a low point. Because he didn't start his rise till the beginning of 1998, where he and Vince McMahon really took off. You had the Montreal Screwjob, so you had DX just starting out.
Right.
But before all that, you didn't have that compelling babyface. When WWE was at its peak in the 98-99 period, which everyone likes to talk about, the Attitude Era, and again, going off of just watching a random Raw the other night, you had as your top people to connect to Mick Foley, The Rock, Steve Austin, Triple H, The Undertaker, Kane, were your six top guys. You can add The Big Show in as number seven. That's 99, and there are other people you can throw in there as well, okay? I ask you, name the top five baby faces on Monday Night Raw.
John Cena.
Okay.
Roman Reigns.
That would be correct.
Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Is Ryback a heel or a face?
Ryback's face.
Okay, we'll go with Ryback.
And I'll help you with the fifth. Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, thank you. That's the one I was forgetting.
Now, are there any of those people in a compelling storyline that would drive in a casual viewer right now?
No.
Are those five people giving you any point to rally behind them for any sort of thing?
Well, Roman's going to try and kill Bray in the cell, so there's that.
But it's taken a few months to get to that point to have them rally behind him.
So no.
There is no hot babyface on Monday Night Raw. The show has been centered around a heel champion, a heel authority, for a very long time. While I love the heel authority, they're great, and then you don't have to change them, but you have to change the top program. You have to get rid of the heel champion and their alignment with the authority. Let the authority be the secondary storyline with the heel champion, let the champion be on its own. What you need is a very strong babyface.
Yeah, I mean, they've put Seth up against some really great competition, but in terms of a long-term storyline with a really, really strong babyface, he hasn't really had that.
No. And when the crowd is hot, when the crowd really gets behind people, is when they have a babyface champion, they can rally behind them. We can say John Cena, John Cena, John Cena, but the crowd never always rallies behind them. They're always mixed with John Cena. So even if you made him the top face, he's not the guy.
Right.
You gotta find someone on your roster for the fans to care about. The hard part of this is the bearded yes man who always roams around, though he's not physically able to compete. He was the guy who was able to rally a crowd and get them behind him, and he sparked energy. And a fan could get behind Daniel Bryan, and you tell that story. But you have no one on this roster right now. Like, I was talking to Tim Mike, because I asked him the same question I asked you. He goes, the John Cena matches. That was his response to what can get the casual viewer in. I don't know an unannounced John Cena match will get the casual fan in.
That's great for 1 week. What do you do about the next week?
Right. There is nothing to, like, we've heard the John Cena, to the John Cena point, we've seen the John Cena story. What Raw needs is that compelling babyface to tell their story. Kane is not the answer. Kane's doing a great job at what he's doing.
Kane is a great stopgap, but he's not going to draw in the ratings that they want him to draw in. That's really obvious because the ratings are continuing to drop. But the problem is for Kane is there is no other babyface that's strong enough, aside from John Cena, which nobody really wants to see, to challenge Rollins. I mean, they've pretty much put him in 1 to 2 month stints with someone, and then they move him on to the next person. He hasn't had a really good long-term feud with a top babyface. Someone that's just as strong and just as obstinate as he is.
Right. And the last time the product was sort of hot, and it was a few months ago when Dean Ambrose was being the guy people started to rally behind. He was getting a little bit of a push, but they went back because he was filling in the gap. He was the gap filler that, you know, they have two pay-per-views, so they're going to use Dean Ambrose. But he was actually getting the crowd support, and the ratings were pretty good. And then they moved them out. Ratings sort of dropped. Coincidental? I don't know. But it's just showing you gotta give a babyface a chance. Basically, the hashtag give a babyface a chance. No, but in honesty, that is the idea. That's how you fix Monday Night Raw, because every week you gotta get that compelling storyline for the good guy.
Yeah, because I mean, let's be realistic. As awesome as a heel as Seth is, which he's amazing, he needs someone to play off of, and right. He doesn't have that.
No, he doesn't. Like Bray Wyatt has Roman Reigns; they're a budding rivalry, and they're playing off each other. Seth Rollins doesn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, Seth has that in Dean, because Seth and Dean have such beautiful chemistry together. But the thing is you can't overdo that, because that's a feud that they're going to go back to their whole career.
Right.
So you have to be careful. Excuse me. How many times you hit that in a year?
Yeah, you have to be very careful how many times you go to that point every year. And even then, but here's the thing. What's the main, like, the main event picture? You don't see, there's no interaction between every main event situation. You have your Seth Rollins main event, and then everything else. You have to get everyone involved. Like, Randy Orton needs to be more, despite him being around for a while, Randy Orton needs to be more of a focus of the show, because he at least can get some of the fans in. He can draw people in.
But yeah, like him or hate him, Orton's a draw.
Orton's a draw. You just need a good, old-fashioned babyface to rally behind, and it will help this product. It will keep people engaged the entire night. Because guess what? Fan favorites draw.
Yeah.
They will keep people interested if booked right. Roman Reigns is being booked all right, but he is not connected to the crowd.
He's trying, man. He's trying really, really hard. And Wyatt's trying.
Roman's gotten better. That's great. But if he was where he was today in January, we'd be set. Because he's not as over, but he's found his groove.
He's found his groove, and the thing is he has more experience under his belt, so there's a reality of, okay, well, I can see Roman Woman winning the Rumble and going on to WrestleMania and main eventing WrestleMania. Last year, it was like, oh, this is too soon. This is like, and we all kept saying it, it's like a year too soon.
Yeah.
And you see how far he's come in a year because simply of who he's been working with and the fact that they've been striving to get him better and get him to a place to where, okay, he's comfortable. He's clicking. Now we just need to get him over and get him connected to the fans. And they're working on getting him over now. Whether the fans will take to him, I don't know.
That said, Roman Reigns needs to be the guy.
But Seth needs he needs The Rock to his Triple H.
Yeah. He needs his Rock. He needs his Austin. He needs whoever. He needs his counterpoint.
Because he doesn't have that right now.
No, he doesn't. And to that, it may be time to drop the belt.
Well, I say he's dropping the belt anyway. He's had a really nice long run with it. He's had it since Mania. He made it through SummerSlam, which is a true test because it's actually a pretty long stretch from Mania to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
To have that title and to go after SummerSlam. That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive, but I wouldn't be surprised if Roman Reigns doesn't win the belt at Survivor Series. Call my shot now. Roman Reigns is champion at Survivor Series. Because they gotta freshen up. And if it happens beforehand, it happens beforehand.
Yeah.
But that belt's gotta come off of Rollins, and it cannot go to Sheamus. Sheamus is the death knell to it. We said it weeks ago, we thought Sting should get the belt for a little bit. I think he would have helped a little bit, just because it's something different.
Because it's something different, it's a household name, it would draw in the older fans and be like, oh hey, look, it's Sting, he has the WWE Championship, that's really cool. Because it's something you never thought you would ever see in a million years. So to put the belt on Sting for one night, and you have Sheamus cash in on him, and then you have Rollins challenge for a rematch, that's something.
It would have garnered a little spark for a few weeks.
Yeah.
But they've stuck with the game plan of Seth Rollins, and it's great, but a change is needed, and a babyface is needed to flagship Raw.
And plus, honestly, Seth's gone through everybody he can go through.
Because once you get to Kane, well...
Yeah, once you get to Kane, you feud with everybody.
But anyway, that's our theory, how to fix Raw.
So, if you like it, or, you know, you disagree with it, or you want to have a say, email us at media@wildtalkradio.com. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. Or Atlin's Ward, or Tumble us if you know us on Tumblr.
There you go.
I'm not giving out my name on Tumblr, so there.
Kane Fanatic 2.
No.
No. Anyway, let's go to break.
I say we go to break, and when we come back, we are talking all about NXT TakeOver. Can't wait. We have Tweet of the Week and some other stuff. Maybe not really. Oh yeah, Question of the Night. We have Question of the Night, y'all. Question of the Night. Cannot forget that. It's been so long. So you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather scream for dying. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, oh, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Lights?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch! Put that man down! Your actions have consequences, and you know what? You're out of here! You're suspended! You know what? You're suspended indefinitely! Get out of my building now! Now get out!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing.
And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axelmania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. We are back, and now it is time for Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Dolph Ziggler. Yikes! All my boos are finding out about my other boos. Worlds are colliding, Jerry! At Seinfeld TV, hashtag Total Divas.
Unfavorite.
Scott lost. Congratulations, sir. You got your thing funded. So happy for you. So proud for everybody out there that donated to the second shift to help Scott publish his next book. Thank you so, so, so very much. I appreciate it. Rock appreciates it. And I know Scott appreciates it. So again, everybody, if you helped out, thank you so much.
Wait, what? That was a tweet?
No, that was, I favorited his so happy.
Gotcha. It's like, that's a really long tweet. They haven't upped the 140 characters just yet. God.
Shh. They can't take it with 140 characters because then Tumblr or Twitter will become Tumblr.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
So Dolph Ziggler, table for three tonight. Three very different dudes bonded by wrestling, witchcraft, and juicing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so much more.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all you got? All right, Bailey, so much fun tonight. Fun fact, my first time at NXT for Paris in 2013, I teamed up with Sasha Banks, and we lost thanks to her. Which she replied with a picture. Sasha replied with a picture with, "Why are you always lying?" We'll get more into them here in a bit. John Gonzalez, everything changed when the Pope came to town. Storylines from Super Bowl 50. Simon Gotch, someone tweeted him, "Someone who literally comes from the 1800s has the time to play MGSV, and I don't. Gotta get my priorities straight." He replied, "If I literally came from the 1800s, I'd be well over 100 years old. At that point, I have nothing but free time." This is very, very true. Sami Zayn, number one, Simpsons, number two, Futurama, number three, Bob's Burgers, number four, eight episodes of Family Guy. Kevin Owens replied, "Number one, shut. Number two, you're. Number three, face. Number four, forever."
Oh, Kevin.
The Dolph Ziggler fanboy tweets, thoughts on Finn Balor and Samoa Joe to Kevin Owens. My thoughts are that Samoa Joe is a great name and that I want Gatorade. Because they spelled Samoa Joe wrong. Lana, did I hear correctly that on Raw they just showed a scene from Total Divas that heel Ziggler still has feelings for the Bella Twins at WWE? Yes, you heard that, Lana. Yes, you did. Big E, the New Day is coming for all the titles, Slammys, political offices, Emmys, GQ covers, Nobel Prizes, Golden Joysticks Awards, Poulters, etc. Keep it 5-star. Bray Wyatt coming out on Raw with his with horns on his hoodie. He's ready for BronyCon.
Oh, God.
keep it 5-star. Reigns, it looks to me, he's a little bitch, says Reigns. Bray Wyatt, I don't have to take this. Puts his brony horns back on and leaves. Hashtag Raw. That's all I got. Tweet a week. Simple and short this week.
Very simple, very short, because, well, we're going to jump right into NXT TakeOver.
Which is the answer to tonight's question of the night. Everyone is looking forward to NXT TakeOver.
I think, yeah, that's the general consensus. I mean, out of the three shows that are up this weekend, TakeOver is definitely high on the list.
TakeOver is very high on the list, that is. For damn sure. And before we get to TakeOver, we're going to talk about this week's NXT.
Oh, yes.
We started out the show with a tag team classic update. Gable and Jordan beat the Hype Bros. No surprise there. And then there was the other second round match. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor versus Enzo and Kaz. Finn had a little slight difference change to his opening music. This is the opening of his music.
Finn had the ittiest, bittiest, teeniest, tiniest black trunks I've ever seen in my life. Good lord, you could see everything.
The things two of us paid attention to.
I couldn't help it! There were pictures! And then because I watched it after the pictures came out, and it was like, that's all you noticed! I was like, oh my gosh, it's right there!
Oh, hey, look at that.
Look at his thing, okay.
Finn with a nice dive over the top rope. Kaz ran wild for a while. Arenzo, no, Joe catches him. Kaz gets taken out. Muscle Buster, double stomp. Joe and Bailey move on in the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Okay, this was a great match. All four guys put in a heck of an effort. That being said, I have a slight issue because it's a tag team classic.
Uh-huh.
And you're having all your tag teams that are long-standing lose. Like the Vaudevillains lost at a house show. Enzo and Kaz lost.
Blake and Murphy lost.
Blake and Murphy lost. Gargano and
Ciampa.
Ciampa lost.
Well, they're not long-standing, though.
They are, but they aren't.
Yeah.
And there's another one that is not coming to mind right now. But basically, all your long-term, long-standing...
Hype Bros, was that who you were looking for?
Yeah, Hype Bros, there we go. All the long-term, kind of permanent tag teams, Ascension. That's one I was looking for.
Oh, the Ascension, yeah.
The Ascension lost. All of those tag teams have lost, and they're out of the Tag Team Classic, and what you have left are Clark and Gable, okay... They're somewhat of a tag team.
Jordan and Gable.
That's how much I pay attention. Jordan and Gable, the Mechanics,
Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder.
There we go. Dawson and Dash.
I always want to call them Dash and Wilder, but that's one person.
Dashing Dawson.
Yeah.
Which, again, okay.
Like, to their credit, they're building Jordan and Gable as the team.
They are, but it's like, and then you put over Finn and Joe and Rhino and Corbin, and it's like, okay, I get why Finn and Joe moved on, because Finn is the NXT champion. The NXT champion has to be on TakeOver and not defend his title, so this is the way to do it. I just kind of wish Finn and Joe had not beaten Enzo and Kaz. I would rather see Enzo and Kaz, if they're going to get taken out of it,
lose to a long-term legit tag team as opposed to two guys who just said, hey, you want to do the thing? Sure. Let's do the thing. Throw their names in the goblet of fire.
Okay, how about if I switch Gable and Jordan beat Enzo and Kaz and Samoa Joe and Finn Balor beat the Hype Bros?
I'm okay with this.
Okay. That's the only slight change. There you go.
Yeah. Which, it's a stupid change, but I have a problem when they, you know, if it's the whole point is tag teams, that you put down every single one of your tag teams.
Yes.
For slap together teams.
Yeah. Speaking of teams, we heard from Gargano and Ciampa. They were disappointed. Bree showed up, talked about how they cost them the Tag Team Classic, and they set up a match for later tonight between Ciampa and Breeze, which we'll get into here in a second. We had Gargano and Cruz. This was a pretty good match.
Solid match.
Gargano had a nice spear through the ropes coming in with the spear. I wasn't sure if this matchup was supposed to showcase Gargano or expose Cruz, because it sort of did both.
Yes. We'll go with yes.
I didn't get what the purpose was. I thought the purpose would be to showcase Cruz rather than Gargano, but that's just me. At the end, Cruz was showcased with his press slam and moonsault for the win, but I don't know, it sent me mixed messages on this one.
Yeah. It was a good showing, though.
Good showing, though. Good match. Regal was backstage with Dana and Emma. it was announced that Asuka will be taking on Dana at TakeOver, and Dana and Emma were cracking jokes how Asuka is a hyena. Get it? Hyena? Ha, ha, ha. And then they get shown footage of Asuka, and well, their mood changed, and Emma's like, good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Dana, honey, you're going to die, and I will thoroughly enjoy watching it.
We'll get into that match here in a couple minutes. We had Dana Brooke and Emma taking on Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. This was a back-and-forth competitive tag team match. They actually got a pretty good amount of time for this match.
They did, yeah.
There was one slip-up by Peyton Royce where she tried coming off the ropes and sort of slipped. Didn't look so good, but, you know, stuff happens. They covered it well. Dana Brooke hit her finish for the win. It was a good competitive match. They got about at least 10 minutes. It was pretty good. Dana in the ring has improved a bit, that I will say.
She's improved, but she just, there's something about her that makes me want to punch her in the face.
And that's a good thing.
I don't think it is. Because I legit want to punch that woman in the face. I'm sure she's a very lovely girl, and she's doing her job right because I don't like her, but it's just like, there's something about her, maybe it's just looking at her generally, that I just cannot stand the sight of her. Like, she is,
Yeah.
Cannot stand the sight of her. Really wish she would go away. Really wish she would just, you know, never be on my TV again. I don't know. But yeah, at least she's getting better, but her voice, it's her voice. It makes me want to just punch her in the face really hard.
You had Jordan and Gable got a promo. They talked about they're going to win the Tag Team Classic. Dash and Dawson had a problem with that and told them they have no chance in winning this Tag Team Classic. We then had our main event of the show, Ciampa against Breeze. This was a really good match.
This is a great, great match.
Tyler is good. Ciampa was good. Ciampa was being ridden by Breeze at one point. Tyler spent a lot of the match taking out his frustrations on Ciampa. Hard strikes beat by Ciampa on his comeback, including a rolling lariat, two count, went to the top rope, got caught off. Tries to fight Breeze away, leaped from the top rope, got hit with a nice drop kick by Breeze, two count. Breeze then went crazy in the corner with kicks, hit the unprettier for the win, Tyler Breeze.
These two bring something out of each other that's just kind of amazing, mm-hmm. And I need more of it.
I like.
But Tyler Breeze using the unprettier.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Call it that.
Don't call it the kill switch. Go back to what it was originally called, the unprettier. Yeah.
Have him use it. Get Christian to agree to it. I'm in. I'm so in.
I think that was the sign that Christian's done, that someone else is using his finish. Which is okay. Which is good. He needs it. I thought this was Breeze's best showing in a while. Ciampa was good. I like that now Breeze has the supermodel kick, the beauty shot, and the unprettier. That's just a lethal combination.
Yeah. That almost finishes out his moveset.
Yeah. Corbin and Ryan are talking about how they're going to win the tournament. And then to segue into the NXT TakeOver show, they had an amazing, awesomely awesome video package for highlighting Sasha Banks and Bayley for the Iron Woman, or as they're calling Iron Man match, at Respect.
This was a spectacular promo package. It showed the girls working out. It showed them getting ready. It talked about their reactions to take over Brooklyn. It talked about what they wanted to do heading into Respect. It was just, it gave me goosebumps because it's, they're taking this seriously. This match means that much to them that it's in the main event. It's an Iron Woman match and it's a serious thing. It's a legit thing. This is something they do for the guys.
Yeah.
Where it's a big match.
Yeah.
And they take it seriously, but at the same time, it made me really, really, really sad because, like I said at the top of the show, the NXT Women's Championship matters more than the Divas title. It's more important than the Divas title.
Right.
Because it's taken seriously.
This is very true. And this is how we're going to segue. We'll start with the Women's Championship match because that's the most important match on the show, at least to us. It's 30 minutes, Iron Man match. This has the potential to be really, really special for these two girls. Because, again, they're the main event of this show. Like, they're the main event. Think about that. Two women, 30 minutes. When does that ever happen?
Never. I can't even remember the last time that happened. Like, I don't know if it ever has. I think this is the first one done in WWE. I'm sure it actually has happened. But this is the first one in recent memory for WWE.
Where you're guaranteed at least 30 minutes with the women. 30 minutes.
In the main event.
In the main event. Like, we've had girls' main event Raw. This is a special on the network. 30 minutes for a championship. It doesn't get any more special than that. And it's been, we've known about this match for about 4 weeks now, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
I've been counting down the days for this match.
I am so excited for it. It's so beautiful, it makes me want to cry. Because for me, I've said this before, I will continue to say it. I went through the Diva years when the girls weren't taken seriously, when the girls were laughable, they were a joke, they were there for tits and ass, and they did the lingerie pillow fights, and the lingerie matches, and the bikini matches, and the panties on a pole, and whatever, where they did all the ridiculous shit to the women, and they were basically just eye candy, and that's it. And to go from basically Trish and Lita to the Diva years back to what we're going into now. This gives me such hope because it's such a cool thing to see that you have women like Bayley, women like Sasha Banks, like Charlotte, like Becky Lynch, like Paige, like Tamina, like Naomi, and countless others. I mean, I can't begin to name them all, but to see all these women, that one, they're all different. They all stand out from each other. They all have their own personalities and identities, which didn't happen as early as, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
They didn't have their own identities. They were just all kind of the same person. Natty, I forgot Natty. That's what I was trying to think of. God, how can I forget Natty?
Well, she hasn't been on TV that much except for the last week or so.
True. But to go from these sort of soulless, faceless women to having women that are being treated on the same levels as the guys, to see them being allowed to go out there and show what they can really do. Because what's a shame is a lot of the women, as much as 5 years ago or as little as 5 years ago, could go. They could work. Eve Torres could work.
Yeah. And she only improved as she went along.
And she only improved. That's the thing. It's like a lot of the Diva Search girls, they didn't know how to wrestle when they first started out. None of them did. But they learned.
The Bellas didn't.
The Bellas have learned, you know? Mm-hmm. It's to see them grow and see them improve and see them get better and see that sort of get rewarded where the Divas are being taken seriously again. They're being viewed as a viable option because I keep asking this question and nobody can really give me an answer. They're still looking for their top star. Their next top star. Who says that next top star has to be a man?
You want going back to our earlier segment. Watch this tie in. You want somebody to rally behind? You want a baby face to rally behind? Hi, her name is Bayley.
Right? Holy crap, get Bayley up on the main roster. Yeah. They have something incredibly special in Sasha Banks and Bayley. And they know it. Sasha's gonna be a damn star if they do her right.
By the way.
And they better.
By the way, thank you, Sasha. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sasha. Thank you for retweeting his thing.
Go to wildtalkradio.com, read how I give Sasha Banks the WWE Divas Championship WrestleMania. It's now on wildtalkradio.com. It blew up my Twitter the other day. Thank you, Sasha. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, I mean, they have something incredibly special with Sasha and Bayley.
Oh yeah.
And they have it with all the girls, but you look at Sasha and you look at Bayley, and it's just, you sit there and you go, damn.
Yeah.
especially because Bayley has the potential to be the female John Cena.
Oh, she does. She so does.
That's the thing. Like, Bayley is fun. She's energetic. She makes you happy. You smile. She runs around and she hugs everybody. She gives out headbands. She makes, you know, she's tailor-made for the younger audience.
Uh-huh.
And for the older audience, it's, she's not this classic beauty. But what makes her beautiful is her happiness, her joy that comes from life.
Her charm.
Her sheer guts.
Yeah.
That's what makes her beautiful. And it's, not that I'm saying she's ugly, because she's certainly not.
No, she's not. She's far from it. But she is adorably cute.
She is, and she's different, is what I'm trying to get at. She's different from any other diva. She doesn't click in that classic diva mold.
Bayley as a heel would be amazing. No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't. Bayley as a heel would be awful.
Yeah. She is this special type of girl that, like...
Bayley's character really... They'd have to tweak it very, very delicately in order to make her heel. The closest she really came was when she buckled down and she got serious and she went after Sasha. But that's really more her determination and her drive kicking in. I don't think it's something Bayley as a heel works. I'd have to see it to know for sure, but just knowing the character, no. The character by itself, no.
No.
She's a face through and through.
She's too genuine. She's such a genuine, kind person, and it just seeps through, and yeah. So,
but I mean...
Go ahead.
But all of that said, to get back to TakeOver, this match will be as good as Brooklyn, if not better.
My only hope is they don't do a lot of pinfalls. Let them build to a first pinfall. Here's how I would structure the match. I would have Sasha get the first pinfall around 20 minutes, and then have Bayley struggle to get the second pinfall, and maybe end it in a draw, and you get more time to a sudden death, final fall, to really build that drama. I don't want to see 5 pinfalls, because that would take away from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I don't want to see a lot of pinfalls. I don't mind false finishes, but I don't want to see, you know, a lot of pinfalls.
Take the old school approach with it. Less is more. So as far as a winner goes...
The fans win. We, regardless of whether Sasha or Bayley win, the fans win because this will be as good as TakeOver, if not better.
Right. Now make a pick.
Bayley. Sasha's going up.
Yeah. 8-Ball says Bayley as well.
Hey, look, it agrees with us.
How about that?
Woohoo!
We'll go with Asuka versus Dana first.
Dana is gonna die. It's Asuka's debut on NXT TV as a wrestler performing in the ring. Mm-hmm. Dana's gonna die.
Asuka?
Yeah, Asuka.
8-Ball
all the way.
Asuka says for the 8-Ball as well. Yeah, it's gonna be a showcase for Asuka. She's gonna kick Dana's ass. Emma may get a little beat down too. It's gonna be good. It's going to be good.
And there's so much women's wrestling on the show, it makes me incredibly happy.
Speaking of women's wrestling, it's Tyler Breeze. No, kidding. Taking on Apollo Crews.
Crews.
Yeah, it's gotta be Crews because he's on the upswing, though the performance from Tyler Breeze on this past show is like, I wouldn't mind seeing Tyler Breeze, especially since Tyler always falls short. And I just think Apollo Crews looking for revenge might be a decent story, and you get rid of the undefeated thing early so you don't have another undefeated star.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I'm still saying Apollo Crews wins.
Yeah, this isn't the loss to put on Crews just yet.
Yeah, just yet. Maybe do a rematch and have Breeze win it. But yeah, at Magic 8-Ball agrees with us as well. This then leads us to the Dusty Rhodes Classic. Apparently, supposedly, I don't have this 100% confirmed, but this is what I've heard. Dustin Reynolds and Cody Rhodes are going to be a TakeOver to present the trophy to the winner of this tournament.
Oh, nice.
And I said Cody Rhodes.
Not Stardust.
This is what I've heard. They have not confirmed this, but this is what I've heard. Anyway, Jordan and Gable take on Rhino and Corbin.
Rhino and Corbin. Somebody's going through a wall when Rhino gores them.
I'm going with Jordan and Gable.
Why?
Going back to what you said earlier, the mixed match teams, let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of the mixed match. Let's get rid of Rhino and Corbin. Let's go with the established team of Jordan and Gable. So I have Jordan and Gable going over. Magic 8-Ball agrees with you.
See, it likes me better.
Dash and Dawson taking on Joe and Balor.
Joe and Balor.
Yeah, going the opposite here, just because it's Samoa Joe and Finn Balor.
Yeah, I would say if Balor didn't have the title, that it might be a little bit harder to pick, but because your Balor is your champion, it doesn't make sense to have him lose.
Right.
At least not till the very, very, very end.
Right. Magic 8-Ball says Joe and Finn Balor move on. So for you, you have Rhino and Corbin versus Joe and Balor. Who you got?
Joe and Balor.
You say Joe and Balor win?
Mm-hmm.
Magic 8-Ball has Rhino and Corbin winning the Tag Team Classic. I have Gable and Jordan winning. I just think winning the Tag Team Classic will give them some credibility as a team, and if there is a trophy involved, imagine how much care Gable will give to that trophy.
Oh, God help us all.
Now you see why I'm going with them? Just for that moment.
Balor and Joe, all the way, man. Balor and Joe, all the way.
It's hard to pick against Balor and Joe because they're the most logical pick because it's the feel-good moment. But you get the feel-good moment with Bayley winning at the end of the show. So I'm going with bad guys. I'm going with Jordan and Gable to win the whole Tag Team Classic. It's theirs to lose. I'm going with them.
Okay.
But that's NXT TakeOver Respect, which airs this coming Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on the WWE Network Live. I can't wait. And next week on the show, we'll have the entire recap for you. We'll break down every single match and see if we take down the Magic 8-Ball.
I doubt it, but we'll see. And if you want to play in our Pick'em contest, you have till, what, 5 that day?
Yes.
So submit your picks. So you can submit them via the Twitters, via the Facebooks, via the email, or via the Tumblr. You all know our links by now, but since we're done, Rock's going to go over it. All of it again. So, Rock?
Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/RockRadioshow, Twitter.com/@WildTalkRadio, Twitter.com/RockRadioshow are ways to do it, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. We'll put a pick sheet in there for everybody to make some picks. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We're back, and we got a lot of stuff to cover. So tune in for the CB Radio Saturday Night Midnight. It is CB Radio Live on Twitter and Facebook, CBRadioLive.com. #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Mike. A little recap. Everything that's recap, you know, all the news from the week in wrestling at 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday Night for all post show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 12, now available. Episode 13 will be available on Saturday. Check it out. It's the mid-season finale. Check out The Rack Invades Dragon Con. Still available at RackRadioShow.com. That's all I got. Oh, yeah. Get us on TuneIn, Wild Talk Radio Network, Stitcher and iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network, or Rack Radio Show.
He lied.
I remembered one more. Shut up.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Racket right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll see you next week. Bye!